This morning, we get to jump into our next chapter here in Romans. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 4. Now, this morning, as we continue this conversation, I think there's something so incredibly important to realize in Romans 1, 2, 3. We're realizing, and Paul is laying out the foundation, that the law just does not get it done. The law was good. The Old Testament law, sacrificing bulls and all of these things, really cool, got us to a place where Jesus could come and Jesus could be the ultimate sacrifice. But now he's saying we are not saved. We don't become righteous because of the law. Now, depending who you are, some people would like to just say, well, then let's just forget about the rules and the law and not have to do it, the principles of the Bible. Absolutely not. And we're going to be able to continue as we go through Romans to see that Paul says, absolutely not. We do not keep sinning so that there can be more grace. Grace is great. We love grace. Anybody, you say grace is good because you need a little bit of it? Some of you are lying. You need to raise your hands. All of you need to raise your hands. Yes, grace is good. Really, really good. But I don't want to keep sinning so grace abounds more. No, I want to walk in God and walk in what he has. And this chapter that we're going to look at, chapter 4, really hones in on this principle and this thought. And it, for their day, touches on maybe what would have been a touchy topic. Abraham, Father Abraham. In this passage, we see that it says the father of us all. We're going to look at it. These statements were things that in their day, for the people of the church, for the people of the religious society, would have been no-nos. They wouldn't have been things that you would say. And to say that Abraham wasn't justified by the law, but that was justified by faith, that was life-changing sort of a topic. That was something where people would not like it, where people would be upset about that, or they would have to hone into what God was speaking and to the truth of who he was. There wasn't really other options. We're either diving in to what Paul says and what Jesus taught and what Jesus did or not. And I think it's a vital importance to realize that things we can so easily read over have such a huge impact and did then and still do today. Now, when we think of our father Abraham, when we think of Abraham, we think of this faith that justified him and not his works, not the law. I just want us to hone in on that word real fast. Faith, I'm not talking about one specific moment. I'm not talking about where a gift of faith wells up within you. And maybe you've seen Pastor Dave's grandkids, they talk all the time about how grandpa talks about the time when he saw someone's leg literally grow a few inches. So their leg wasn't as the same length, and he saw it grow. That took a gift of faith by somebody to believe, and a miracle happened in their life. That is really, really cool, right? That would be super fun. And I'm not talking about a moment of faith or just a special thing, but I'm talking here in this instance about having a heart after God. Having faith to believe that even when life doesn't look like I want it to look, that he's still moving, that he's still with me. That even when, as we're going to look at in his life, he's 100 years old and he's supposed to be the father of this nation, but he doesn't have an heir. He doesn't have a son to be the next line. That what do? Do you believe? Do you walk in faith even though it doesn't look possible? Or do you quit? That's the kind of faith, this heart after the Lord, to walk in him and to let the goodness of God move in your situation, right where you are. This first half of Romans chapter 4, Paul just lays it out. Abraham, he's justified by faith. Talks about David, looks into this concept. But then we get to verse 13. And I just want us to start reading in verse 13, and we'll go to verse 16. It says, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the Father of us all. This concept of our father Abraham, who is the father of us all. I mentioned it is such an important phrase. It is such an important thing that Paul is speaking. Because the leaders of here, they would have jealously guarded that phrase, our father. That phrase would have only been for the people of Israel, for the ones that were in his line, that were in his family. It would not have been for the Gentiles. It would not have been for those that even had come under the law, who now were a part of their extended family, you could say. Those people would not have been able to say, our father. They would have had to say, your father. They wouldn't have been able to use that word. And Paul comes, and he says that the message of faith, the justification through faith, is for all people that would come to the Lord. It's for all people who put their faith in Christ. The Lord. It's not the law. It's not the rule. It's not the regulation, but it's this faith, this heart after the Lord, and it is for every single one of us. Circumcision was no longer the vital link to Abraham, but faith, trust in God, that is what was the vital link. It wasn't an action, but a heart place. It wasn't the things and the lists I had to do, but it was walking with God, having a heart after his, and looking to be who he called me to be. When we think about the law, I think throughout the word, throughout the Old Testament, you find out that the law does not have the power to get us to heaven. The law doesn't have the power to bring us into blessing of God's promise. And why? Is it because what God, the law that was put together was not good enough? No. It's you and me that fail to live up to the law. In fact, I think every one of us in the room can be pretty honest with ourselves and say we've messed up at least once in our life. And if you think you're close to once, then you're really fooling yourself. We've messed up many times. The law is amazing. The law of the Old Testament could have been great, except we fail. We mess up. We think bad things. We say bad things. We do bad things. We hurt ourselves and we hurt others. And if you haven't noticed, we're really good at it, doing it over and over and over and over again. Anybody? You'll say, I've been there. I've done it over and over again. Anybody? You've sinned a few times. This section over here is very honest. You guys are great. Some of you over here, I'm not so sure. But all of us, we've failed. We've messed up. And this is so vital because all of a sudden, Paul's saying, it's not about your perfect attendance or your perfect adherence to the law, but putting your faith and your trust in Jesus, your trust in God our Father, just like Abraham was not justified by the law. You are not justified by the law, but we're justified. We're brought into the family because of faith in Jesus, who died and gave himself over for us and lived the perfect sacrificial life. That is why you and I can have relationship. That is why we have the opportunity to say our father Abraham, because God has opened the door and we all get to step in to his family. The religious leaders would have said that father Abraham followed every word of the law, which would have been really difficult. You know why? Because the law was not there yet. It wasn't there. It wasn't out there. And they said that he could do that. And I believe he followed by faith. He did what God had called him to do. By faith, his heart after the Lord, he went where God had him to go. But if you've read the story, if you read the stories, you realize Abraham wasn't exactly a perfect guy, because there isn't that. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his faith in Jesus, even before Jesus, in God, his Father, he got to be the father of us all. He preceded the law and walked by faith. And why is that? Why could that take place, that Abraham was able to go and to do what God had called him to do? I think it is shown in verse 21, and we'll read verse 17 through 21. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And I believe right there is where it all comes down, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This faith walk that Abraham journeyed on, it wasn't one that made sense if you were anybody else around him. This guy that had no land and this guy that had no descendants, he didn't have an heir. He didn't have anyone to build this nation. It was going to die with him. At the point where your wife is 90 and where you are 100, you probably could say pretty confidently, except the voice of God, you could say, I think we're not going to have any children, right? You could say, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Abraham walked in faith. Abraham believed that if God said that I'm going to become a great nation, then it's going to happen. Abraham could believe that when the angel came and said, this is going to happen, and next year when I come back, you will have a child. Even if Sarah laughs, which anybody else, I don't know that we have anybody near 90 years old in this room today. But if we did, you would laugh, I think, if that's what an angel came and said, can you just imagine, you know, whatever age you are, if you're past that, that would be a ridiculous thing to hear. But Abraham, walking in as a heart after God, experienced and was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. These works of God demonstrate his ability to count things that are not, such as our righteousness, as if they were, as in he counts us righteous. I love the fact that God does not need to, in our time setting and what we see, we don't have to see the answer. He is already in the answer. He can call you righteous before you're righteous because he sees that you will be righteous. He can call your future into existence because he sees already what your future will be. And if we could understand and get the heart that even Abraham at 100, who had been told he would be the father of a great nation, that we can stand, if that's what God has spoken, it will happen because God is in my future, because God has already seen what will take place. Which means today, if you are sitting here at Radiant Life Church, or you are at home, or maybe it's 3 weeks from now, driving in your car, wherever you might be, what God has spoken to you, you can know it will happen. Maybe a dream, maybe a vision, maybe just the prayer of your heart for family members or someone that does not know the Lord or someone that's gripped by addiction or by sin. You keep praying and speaking the word of God, the truth of the word of God. You keep holding on to what he has spoken because he sees what will be when we can't. He sees what will be when we think we're 100 and our wife is 90 and there is no hope. God sees the future. He knows what is coming. And today, if we can be people that are fully convinced that God was and he still is able to do what is promised, then guys, we can see anything happen in our life as we keep taking a step, having a heart after God's. If God could call the dead womb of Sarah to life, he can call our death and trespass and sins to new life in Jesus. He can do anything in you. And I just want to say, I feel, as I've been praying and thinking this week, I feel there's some people that you feel there's areas of your life that are too far gone, that you're never going to beat, or you're never going to accomplish, or you're never going to get rid of an addiction or a sin in your life. And I want you to know that if God can bring new life to Sarah, and that the heir, the one that would continue the line could happen in her life, he can bring new life to you. He can bring wholeness to you. He can break things off that need to be broke off and birth new things in you that maybe you thought were never possible. God is with you. He loves you. But can we say today, I am fully convinced that he will do what he's promised? Can we let him speak and even promise new things into our life? We say, Lord, not just where I've been or what I've done, but from this day, what do you want to speak? How do you want to move? Where do you want to take me? God is calling your faith and your future into existence. And today, if we will plug into him, if we'll let him speak and let his word and his life become real and active in us, I believe he has amazing things for some of you and for some of you that you do not believe can happen. For some of you that think you're too old or some of you think that you've messed up too bad, I think God is sitting there with open hands and he wants to speak life and vision and dreams and future into you. He's calling your future into existence. He's calling you to walk by faith, to walk with a heart after his, a walk of relationship with our God, the one who created us and made us. The last few verses that we see here in Romans chapter 4, verse 22 through 25, it says, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And I think that's pretty cool. His faith was counted to him. But this is even better for us. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who was raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. It will be counted to us who believe. Righteousness will be counted to you. The grace of God is so powerful, is so mighty, is so real that this morning, no matter what we've done or where we've been, just like Abraham, that righteousness was counted to him today for you and for me, every single person that will offer God ourselves, will turn from our wicked ways, will walk in relationship with him, an instant moment of righteousness, a word we use, justification. I love it, just as if I never sinned. In an instant, a prayer becomes a moment where you are justified, where righteousness is given to you. And then the road that goes from there is sanctification. It's the continual process of becoming more like Jesus. Our righteousness that he gives us, it is us becoming righteous, acting righteously. It is you and me learning to not hurt yourself and hurt other people around you. It's learning to honor God. It's learning to have a heart after God. It's learning, I believe, like Abraham, maybe not to be perfect, although that's my goal. I would love to be as perfect as possible, but to live in a way where I trust God. I walk in God. And when I make a mistake, I get up and I don't say I'm going to do it again, but I turn from that thing and I go to where God has me to be. That I want to live a righteous life before the Lord because he has given me righteousness. He has done it as I put my faith and my trust in him. But then I strive every day to live my life with the word of God, the principles of God. In fact, the law that we are not justified by, that I'm going to let the law, the rules, the regulations of the word, I want those things to become what my life is. I want to align myself with the word of God. Thankfully, a lot of people would not like it. We don't have to kill bulls and sacrifice things and burn animals. That may not be a good thing in our culture. And guess what? It's not a cultural thing. It's a biblical thing. We don't have to do those things. But the principles of the truth of the word, I want to be real and active. And as a church family, to say, Lord, your righteousness, you've already given me. I'm under your covering. I am righteous. But now, Lord, help me to live my life in a way where I have a heart under yours, where as a church, we all come and align under the word of God, under what Jesus would have us to be. In fact, when I really think about it, our goal as Radiant Life Church should be one of alignment, should be one of coming and aligning under the norm of Jesus. It would be really great if we all looked like little Jesuses running around because we followed him and we walked in him and we have faith in him. That we were of one mind. And I would even say, even in a time when we could have different views and opinions, where our hearts are united as one, where we're under the word of God and the righteousness that God has simply given us because we put faith and trust in him, repented, that we are all living it and walking it out more and more and more every single day. This faith, it's not a faith in historical events or even the historical Jesus and knowing that he was here on the earth. It's not a faith in the beauty of Jesus' life, because that won't save you if you just think Jesus was pretty cool. Or faith in the accuracy or goodness of Jesus' teaching. You could have all of the theological principles understood. That will not save you. It's not faith in the deity of Jesus and his lordship and just knowing that he is. It's not about knowing something, but it's only faith in Jesus, what he did on the cross, believing that he took my sin away and then offering him my sin and making him the Lord of my life. Only when I give him everything, only when I make him the Lord of my life, repent of my sins, am I deemed righteous, not because of me, not because of what I've done, not because of what you've done, but because your faith is in Jesus. And he makes you righteous. He makes you whole. He gives you faith that means something, that puts us all together. I want you to know today that the righteousness of God in your life, it's much more than innocence, but it is a positive good. And when it says in the word, it will be counted to us who believe in him. This is like money being put away, being stored up for you, almost being put in your bank account that you don't have to understand how or why or what. But when you go and you open your bank account and there's more than you thought there was, that is a good moment. And when we come before the Lord, his righteousness is not only I'm righteous, but then he gives to us, accounts to us even more, a positive good in our account. Anybody in here have the ability to make that happen? I don't think so. But God, in your life, doesn't only see you as just not bad, but he sees you as righteous. He has accounted to you more than you can believe or even understand. The God of the universe wants to move in your life. He wants to speak truth in your life. He wants relationship with you so that I no longer live by the law, but that I live under the law, and I'm going to do what the word would say, and I'm going to follow the commandments, and I'm going to follow the principles of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, whatever. I'm going to live under what God has, because the righteousness of God that has simply been given me because of faith, now my life is going to align and look like it. Which means on a Sunday morning, it is so cool. If you've served the Lord your whole life, since you were, 4 years old or whatever age, come on, you get to live under the righteousness of God and have the goal of being more and more like him every day, walking under grace. But maybe today you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe today you've done it, but now you're not living it. It is so cool that all you have to do to experience righteousness is pray, Lord, forgive me. Lord, make me whole. I repent. I turn of my wicked ways. I want to follow you, make you Lord of my life. And in a moment, in an instant, you are righteous, just as if you've never sinned. Justification comes to your house, and I like it. I want it to be. But then every one of us, it's time not to say, this was good. This was a good moment at an altar or with my hands folded in prayer. But that moment, that prayer has led me to a life of saying, Lord, I want to walk by faith. Lord, I want to have a heart like yours. Lord, I want to believe that even when it seems impossible, Lord, that you're going to make the impossible possible. Lord, that you're going to bring to pass in my life things that should not be able to happen. Because of what I've done, because of what you've done, we could say they can't happen. You know what? You're right, except that we've got a God who makes you righteous and accounts to you even more. It's a positive good, and now he wants you to be used in a mighty way. He wants to touch you. He wants to experience, and you to experience him and be able to make a difference in your world like until this point you could only imagine. It's time. You don't have to feel bad because you've already given it to him. Offer it to him. And if you do feel bad because you haven't, today ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make you whole. Ask him to make you new. And righteousness is upon you. You are righteous. And we get to work every day to say, Lord, I want to hear you. Lord, I want to know you. I want to walk by faith. And Lord, where I can read the Ten Commandments and I can understand some law, I'm not going to do the things I shouldn't do. I'm going to look into the word. And Lord, let this faith that you're giving me, this walk, this relationship, be what pours out of my life. It's not grace so that I can keep on sending so grace can abound. No, no, no. I don't want to have extra grace. I've got enough. I want to follow you. But Lord, I'm so thankful that every time I make a mistake, you come and you cover me and you wash me. I'm justified. I'm in you. I'm righteous because you have made me righteous. So this morning, if you're in the room, maybe if you're at home, if you can and if you feel comfortable, if you could stand to your feet, I just want us to pray together in two areas that I mentioned. Number one, if you've never given your life to the Lord and you said, I've never offered myself to him, you could have been in church. Church doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. Churches, I love church. It's my favorite couple hours, few hours of the week. I absolutely love it. But that's not how we get to heaven. That's not how we become righteous. We become righteous because we offer Jesus everything. We give him our life. We turn from our wicked ways. And if you say today, I want to repent of my sin and make Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm gonna ask you to do something bold. In here, in this room, maybe online. Maybe you put a little hand up, hand raise in the comments on Facebook. This morning, if you say, I need Jesus, would you just raise your hand high to the sky? Would you raise your hand, say, that's me. I wanna be sure that if anybody needs to know the Lord and they do not, that they are seen this morning. Anybody right over here? Awesome, in this section, right here. Thank you, over here, anybody. I don't wanna miss anybody. Wonderful. We're gonna pray. But for the others, maybe every person in the room, if you'd say, I wanna have faith like Abraham. I don't want to get bogged down in the rules. I wanna be bogged down in relationship. I wanna be bogged down having a heart after God. I wanna be bogged down, if you wanna say, in spending time with Jesus, my Savior, my Creator. And I'm believing that as I put my faith and my trust and my walk in him, that then I'm gonna do all the rules. I'm gonna align underneath his goodness. And maybe you've been struggling, and maybe it's a perspective of I can't accomplish, or I can't do it all, or I can't figure it all out. And today Jesus says, forget that. Let my righteousness become your righteousness. And watch, watch as his righteousness transforms you to look like his word and to look like he's called you to be. Let a relationship make you all that you can be. Full grace today, full heart of God that he loves you. And then he will help you transform to be who he's called you to be, to look more and more and more like Jesus every single day. So this morning, everybody in the room, at home, would you just repeat this prayer after me? And for those, you just raised your hand. You said, I want to know Jesus. Mean it, like hopefully all of us, from the bottom of your heart. And this is the day that justification, that righteousness comes to your home. A simple prayer. If you would repeat after me, dear Jesus, we love you. I love you. And I turn to you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask for repentance. And I repent from what I've done and from whom I've been. And I turn to you. Anything that hurts, myself or others, help me to get rid of it and to align with you. Help me to have a heart like yours and to walk in faith. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that, you're a part of the family. He's welcomed you in today. And now as we close, I'm praying and believing that every single person that's hearing and has heard this word today would say, I want to have a heart like God's. I want to have a heart after his. I want faith to walk beside me. I want to be like Abraham and be justified by faith. And Lord, help me to see my life become what you've called it to be, to line up with the word of God. So Lord, this morning as we close, we are so thankful that you've given us the law, that you've given us the principles of the law. Lord, that you have given us commandments and you've given us a ways to go and things that we can see and apply in our life. But Lord, I thank you And we're so thankful that, Lord, you let us walk by faith. You let us walk by relationship. And Lord, we don't need to look at it from a scope of law, but instead, Lord, that faith and relationship will lead us under you to the norm of your word, to make our life like you would have it to be. And Lord, I pray for those that are struggling to walk in your grace today. Lord, I pray you would set some people free. It's not them. It's not you, but it's God. It's his grace. And Lord, that they would feel that and be able to walk in it this week. And Lord, for some people who have been struggling with an addiction or struggling with what their words in their mouth would say, struggling with what they would do, struggling maybe with past and things that make us feel bad, Lord, I pray that those things would be wiped clean because they would experience and we'd feel your righteousness, your love, and your heart for each and every one of us today. Lord, let us walk in faith with you. Let us walk in relationship with you, and let that relationship cause us day in and day out to look more and more and more like you, Jesus. We love you and we thank you, God. You are so, so good. Bless each one today. Lord, I pray that even where people may in their physical body need a touch, Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and wholeness in mind, in spirit, in whatever area, God. Today, I pray that faith, we would walk in you and we'd even see healing. We would even see this week that things that haven't gotten better, that you would come and you would bring wholeness to people, even as they live and as they walk. Lord, that we would be able to fully trust in you and we would know that it's been counted. Righteousness has been counted to our account more than we could ever think or imagine. We're more than even. You've accredited us. You've given us new life in you, God. So we love you. We thank you. And we praise you. You're so good. Thank you for being here. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.